service, and I'm certainly looking forward to it. I always love services where I'm really not a huge part of it. In fact, I'll be say a few things here at the beginning and then a few closing thoughts in the end, and we're going to let the means of music do the speaking tonight, and I trust that it will be a blessing. We have a number of our people here in our church that have prepared different things, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. And I will say this, I mentioned this in our prayer time, tonight is not a, it's not a recital, it's not a performance, tonight is worship. It's worship in a different way. It's worshiping the Lord through music. And that's the way we want to look at it, and I trust that you'll look at it that way, that we're not performing tonight, so we're not doing it just for an applause or anything else. We're doing this for the Lord. We do this because the Lord deserves it, because it was Jesus that came to this earth to save us from our sins. We don't deserve it, but he did it anyway because he loves us. And so tonight, our music purely is to bring God honor and glory to him. So tonight's going to be a different kind of a service. I am going to give a little challenge afterwards, but it's just going to be something a little short that applies to tonight from a place in Scripture that you wouldn't think of at Christmas, but we're going to look at a few things. But before we get into the service, let me just mention a few things. So we'll be having different groups come up and worship the Lord through music. And so after each one of these, we're not looking for any clapping or applauding that way. Again, this is for the Lord, not for us, not for any musician. But we'll do that, but all of our musicians, you be ready with your schedules for the next one, and wait till the previous one was seated, and then you can come up and do your thing. And we're going to do that after our service tonight. By the way, we want to welcome every one of you here, those people who are normal, and then those of you who I've not met yet, or this is your first time, we want to welcome you to our church. Glad that you can be here with us tonight. And I hope that you've joined us for one purpose as well, and that's to honor and glorify the Lord. But we're here tonight to do that. But another element of tonight that's not normal, after the service, of course, we'll greet one another and fellowship a little bit, but we don't want to wait too long afterwards. We're going to do something that we have kind of made a tradition to do, and that's some caroling. But we're going to do some things different this year. There have been some people in our church that have been sick or cautious about some things that haven't been able to be here for quite a while. And so many of us haven't seen their faces, they haven't seen ours. And so very cautiously, I want to see who wants to be involved. And I know some of you can't or are not able to, but for those of you who want to, after we greet people for a while after the service, and then I'll kind of call people who want to go out caroling together, and we'll come and I'll see how we can break up. We're going to break up into two different groups, and then we'll get into our vehicles. If you're an approved driver, feel free to say, hey, I've got two seats in my car, or I've got four seats in my van, or something like that, and we can go over. We're going to go each group. We're going to have two groups, and each group is going to go to two different homes of some people that have not been able to be here for a while. Okay, so we're not going to be going out and doing lots of homes. It's just two groups, four different families that we're going to carol to. And so we'll try to go over there and park on the street or however we can, and then just go up to the house, and we'll carol for a little while. I'm sure those people will come and listen, and just hopefully it will be a blessing that way. So we'll do that for a little while, and then we'll come back here to the church if you'd like to, and there'll be some hot chocolate ready if you'd like, and then we're going to get in our fellowship hall, and there should be some chairs set up back there, and we're going to take a little bit of time to sing some more Christmas carols. I don't know about you, but I love singing Christmas carols, and a month of it doesn't hardly seem enough, but it also seems different to be singing Christmas carols in November and January as well. So we get another opportunity. We've created it here tonight, and so you can drink your hot chocolate, and we'll just randomly sing some different Christmas carols, fellowship. And that's what we're going to do this evening. So I invite as many of you that want to stick around as possible. We've got lots of hot chocolate back there, and so that should be a time that we're going to have this evening. So that's the events of tonight, just so that you understand everything for this evening. We look forward to our Wednesday night Christmas candlelight service. It's not on Thursday, Christmas Eve. It's on Wednesday night. So I just want everybody to be aware of that so that you don't show up on Thursday night and you'll be the only one here. But Wednesday night, we hope a number of you can come. And it's our candlelight service and got some special things prepared for that as we read through the Christmas story and sing some good songs that apply to that part of the Christmas story. And so that will be on Wednesday night, another good time to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so that's what's going on. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas if we don't see you Friday. Hopefully it'll be a special day for you as we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Make one other announcement here that I was handed concerning the nursery. All nursery workers, please meet on the Oregon side of the auditorium immediately after the evening service. So just if you're working the nursery, just some things that you need to be aware of very quickly on the side before we do our caroling. So just want that to be you to be aware of. Okay, looking forward to what tonight is going to bring us. We're going to start off with a congregational song, so I'm going to ask Rick to come and lead us in our first song.
Let's all turn to 202 in your hymn book, Good Christian Men Rejoice. Please stand to sing. Good Christian, rejoice. hymn is 226. Let's sing, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks." It's 226.
Thank you.
Let's sing O Little Town of Bethlehem. It's 217. 217 in your hymn book.
God embarks to you and all.
Take your hymn book and turn to 219. We're going to sing Silent Night. Why don't we do this evening? Melissa, if you'd give us the introduction, but then we'll sing the first verse without the instruments, without any instruments, just with our voices. And then on the second verse, instruments can come in again. So as you're able, let's stand to sing tonight, Silent Night, 219.
What do you think? Should we have them come up and all do it again? I think that's what we ought to do. They're like, no way, no way. But I appreciated that. It went a little faster than what I thought it was going to go, and I wish that it would have lasted a little bit longer because I thoroughly enjoy that. It's been a while since we've been able to have this amount of music and different abilities that we've had. And continue to pray for our churches. It is my desire to, again, raise up these young people so that they can be a part of this music that honors and glorifies the Lord. And the more we can do that, and we've got more young people coming up, and as we can train them and raise them up to do this, then I think that we can use music much more in our church for His honor and for His glory. And so that's our goal. Praise the Lord. Thank you for those of you who contributed. That was such a blessing. And like I said, I truly wish that it would have went on a little bit longer than that. But anyway, for a little bit of time this evening before we're dismissed, I want you just to see a few things from a place in Scripture that you wouldn't think to go at a time of Christmas. You would expect to go to Matthew chapter 1 or 2 or to go to Luke. Maybe even the Gospel of John to see what John the Baptist said about Jesus. However, we're not going to go there. In fact, we're going to go to the Old Testament, but not Isaiah that prophesied Jesus or Genesis. We're going to go somewhere else. We're going to go to the book of Psalm. Would you go to Psalm? Before I tell you where we're going to go in Psalm, would you recognize if I told you the only introduction to a psalm that was a psalm of praise? Now, you might think, oh, there's got to be 100 of the psalms that are entitled a psalm of praise, but as I understand it, it's the only one. What if I were to tell you that it's considered, many called it the old 100th? Some of you, that's a little bit more obvious. We're going to Psalm 100. So would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm 100? Now, you know this, many of you would know this psalm because it could be one of the ones that you learned when you were a child or younger. It's not a long psalm, only in 5 verses. And so it's an easy one to memorize. But Psalm Chapter 100 is what I want us to look at this evening. Just for a few minutes, hardly consider this a message, but a small challenge that I just want you to think through concerning what just happened, making a joyful noise unto the Lord. That was our goal, was to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But let's look at Psalm 100. Here we read, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Now we recognize that as a wonderful psalm, a psalm of praise. But how does this fit in with Christmas? The first phrase, and we're not going to go phrase by phrase, but a phrase that I want you to see to start off with, the first phrase, make a joyful noise. Now some of us who are not musicians would look at that last word and say, noise. Yep, that's what I make. I make a noise, you know, when I sing, or you don't want me, pastor, up in front because I just make a noise. Well, do you know what the word noise means? Noise in the Hebrew, and this noise is a glad shout. I like what one person who is writing some of the definitions mentions about this Hebrew word, a glad shout. He says it's what the loyal subjects give when their king appears among them. I want you to think for just a moment. You are one of these subjects, and the king is coming. I know we don't have a king these days in America, but just imagine in the land of old, and where there was kings and queens that were ruling the countries. What would it be like, of course, when the, you know, maybe in a country and the king comes and is in, makes his appearance in the presence of the subjects? Well, there would be a glad shout and great tidings. It would be cheering and shouting and joy, a joyous occasion. This word noise is defining that. Make a joyful noise. How does this fit in with Christmas? Well, at Christmas time, what are we supposed to do? Who has arrived? Jesus has arrived. And in our loyalty, we must give him that joyful noise. Jesus has come. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. It's a time where we lift up our voices to the Lord. And later on in the chapter, we see that we lift our voices to him in singing. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. And so, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Here we have that joyful noise, that glad shout. That glad shout that loyal subjects give when their king appears among them. Folks, can I tell you that the king has appeared among us? Emmanuel has come. Emmanuel, God with us. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And at Christmas time, it's a time to stand up and shout that Jesus is here. Our king is here. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason to make a joyful noise this Christmas. You know, this psalm is a psalm of promise for Christianity. There's another way in which this psalm is good for the Christmas occasion and setting. Again, it's a psalm of promise for all Christianity. You know, as winter at its close contains the promise of spring. It's kind of neat that it always does that. You know, we're just getting ready to get into the winter season, and it's going to be long, and it's going to be cold, and there's going to be snow and ice, and it's going to be the many days of going out from a building like this where you're warm and going out into that cool, brisk air. But as the end of winter draws nigh, and I'm not trying to rush it, but as the end of winter comes, it gives us the promise that spring is coming. It's quickly growing on me to enjoy spring. I always enjoyed the fall, and fall is still my favorite time of year. But the end of winter and the beginning of spring is kind of a joyous time because it's that cold, hard feeling that you get, and it enters in. You know warm is coming. You know that the leaves are coming, the flowers are coming, and it's an exciting time. It's a time of promise. Here in Psalm 100, there's a call to worship. There's a call to worship as you look through the psalm, just in the five verses. A call to worship for who he is. A call to worship for what he has done. And a call to worship for what he is going to do in the future. Honestly, that reminds me very much of Christmas. There's a call for worship at Christmas for who he is. Who is he? We sing the song, "Who is he in yonder stall?" And what's the response? 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. You know, at Christmas time, there is a declaration of who this child is. This is Jesus. He's Christ, the Lord. He is our Savior, like we learned this morning. You know, at Psalm 100 declares the person of God. In Psalm 100 and verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He's God. That's who he is. So we see in this psalm, it's a call to worship. It's promise. It's the promise of Christianity of who he is. Next, for what he has done. What has Jesus done for us? What has God done? Here we see some things that he hath done. He hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Make a joyful noise. What has God done for us? Well, he's done a lot of good things. He's done amazing things. And we remember back to what he has done. I thank the Lord that he sent his very own son, Jesus Christ, to be the answer to our sins. As we learned this morning, that's our enemy. I praise the Lord for Jesus. I praise the Lord for eternal Savior that doesn't just save us for the damnation in hell, but He saves us from our sin on a continual basis. He gives us deliverance. He gives us freedom. He gives us the opportunity, like we learned this morning, that there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You know what? God is a God that loves us, and He continues to make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. God lives for us and intercedes for us on a daily basis. We thank the Lord for who He is, for what He has done, and thirdly, for what He's going to do in the future. You know, that's all about Christmas. Christmas is who He is. Christmas is what He's done, but Christmas is all about what He's going to do in the future. Christmas would not be complete if it was just the babe in the manger. Christmas would not be complete if it was just Jesus on the cross, or even the resurrection of Jesus on the third day. Christmas is complete in the end times when we sing, we sing the song, Joy to the World, the Lord has come in the millennial kingdom, when Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign. And then at the end of that, some tragic things, but we as a church, as believers, we are going to enter into heaven and be there for in our eternal destination forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Psalm 100 is all about Christmas. It's all about what Jesus, who He is. It's all about what He's done. It's all about what He's going to do. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of people this day that don't have much hope because they've not placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But as a Christian here tonight, if you're a Christian, there is so much to not only look back to and what He's done, not only to look to who, for who He is, but to what He is going to do. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, oh, I'm scared about 2021. I'm scared about the rest of my life. I'm scared about what my children are going to go through. I'm scared about what the Christians during the tribulation are going to have to go through as we get a glimpse of some of that today. I want to tell you something. There is eternal hope, because that's all going to come to pass, but it's all going to pass, and there's going to be eternal destination someday, and we can stand up, and we will forever stand up and sing Joy to the World. The Lord is come. I want to tell you, Psalm 100 is not one that too many preachers probably go to at Christmas time. But as I read Psalm 100, honestly, folks, that's what we did today. That's what the musicians did tonight. It was a joyful noise unto the Lord. Again, for who He is, for what He's done, and for what He is going to do in the future. I trust that this Christmas you will look at it in that light. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, and His mercy is everlasting. And here it is for the future. And His truth endureth to all generations. You know, as a parent, I get scared about what my children have to go through. But His truth endureth to all generations. He's going to be good to them as He was good to us, as he was good to them of old. We have so much to be thankful for. Psalm 100, a psalm of praise. As we close tonight, I would encourage you to take your hymnals and let's go to that song I just suggested. 194 is the song Joy to the World. It's certainly a Christmas song. It talks about the Lord coming and we receive for King. But I'll tell you what, it really has its final destination in the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And that's what we look forward to. So I encourage you to stand as we sing Joy to the World. 194, Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing on the second. Joy to the earth, a Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sin and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found, for as the curse is found. And the fourth, he rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nation prove the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Amen. I trust that you enjoyed this evening. Before you go, I just want to encourage you that today we live in a day where it seems like there's not a lot of peace. Now, the world is after peace. But what the world at large doesn't know, that peace is not just about all people of all nations coming together and holding hands in unity. In fact, peace really doesn't have to do with our love for brothers and sisters, although that's a part of peace. True peace comes with the person of Jesus Christ. He is our peace. And what we're talking about is not peace with brothers and sisters, not peace with other cultures, cross-culturally, or other societies, or even other political sides. True peace is fallen man, which we understand from the book of Romans, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fallen man. Our choices that are against God. The Bible teaches that we're sinners. The Bible teaches that God is a holy God, and him is no darkness at all, pure and holy. There's a problem with that. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus Christ is our peace. Peace is that piece of the puzzle that unifies two entities that maybe once were together but are now at odds. Mankind in his sin and God in his holy and righteousness. Jesus came to bridge the gap. And what he did was he shed his precious blood on the cross. You see, why could it only be Jesus? You see, one man cannot die for another man because that man is fallen. So it had to be God, given his holy, precious purity. But folks, it had to be a man also, because only man can take the place for another man. In his humanity. And the perfect God-man was Jesus Christ. And he came and he paid the penalty of sin on the cross. And all who believe and trust in Jesus can be saved. I ask you the question tonight. Do you have peace? I'm not really asking you if you have a lot of confidence in 2021 and our president and in our political system. I'm not asking about that. I'm asking you, do you have peace? Do you have the assurance of your faith and trust in the one who came to be peace to all mankind? Peace and goodwill toward men. Because of God and his goodwill through Jesus Christ, he provided peace to all men. But all men do not have peace unless they receive him. My prayer is that every person that leave this room tonight would go out with true peace. True peace is not a security in my own heart that nothing's going to happen. True peace is faith and trust in Jesus. He died on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sin, and I'm trusting what he said will come to pass. I can be at peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So my question to you tonight is, do you have peace? The Bible teaches that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not our religion, it's not our church going, it's not our good works, it's not our upbringing or our raising of our family, it's not our money in the offering plate. It's not our baptism, it's not some spiritual ritual. It's what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And when he did it, in the end, he said, it is finished. The work was done, and all we have to do is accept it. My friend, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your peace? If you've never done that, on the way out, I'd love to take a Bible or to get somebody else, if you're a lady, and get someone, another lady, to take the Bible and show with you how you can have peace with God, a holy God, tonight. It's the best thing that you could ever do. And I'll tell you, you might get a lot of great gifts in a couple days, but it's the greatest gift that you could ever have. It's the gift that you can go to bed at night and not have to worry about what's going to happen the next day, because you're at peace with God. Peace with God. Do you have it? I trust that you do. Tonight's been a good night, a different night, but we've given joy to the Lord. We've given praise to the Lord. And I trust that tonight the Lord's been honored by everything that's been done. I trust you have a wonderful week. And I say, if I don't see you on Wednesday night, trust you have a Merry Christmas. And let's accept the peace and the good news of good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, that God has offered to us tonight. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in a word of prayer. And don't forget, before we pray, there's going to be a meeting for the nursery workers right up here for just a few minutes afterwards. And after we have some time to fellowship just a little bit, we're going to be getting together. Those of you who would like to go caroling, I'm going to have you meet in a certain, maybe just down the hall just a little bit instead of right away in the foyer, just so I can kind of designate it. I'll let you fellowship and talk. When you hear me say something, it's like, all right, everybody who wants to go caroling, if you could just kind of congregate in a certain area, maybe down the hall just a little bit, so I can kind of see how many people we have and how we're dividing up. I'll give you some instructions there. Don't feel like you need to go if you have other plans or you're not going to be able to make it. Certainly, if you just want to stick around the church, there's going to be some hot chocolate after we return and just some fellowship and singing of some more songs. So you can do whatever you like, but that will be this evening. So let's go ahead and dismiss in a word of prayer. Thank the Lord for all that he's done. Pastor Dan, would you please dismiss us in that prayer?